You are the man now. Dog, 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 you are the man now. Dog.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to You're the Man Now, Dog, hosted by myself, Ryan Rosenberg, and the wonderful and hilarious Dan Lippert, who's just to my left. Dan, how are you?
Good morning, Ryan. Good afternoon, good evening, good night. Thank you for that lovely intro.
Very quick intro. I wouldn't say it was too lovely. It was more just to the point.
You said hilarious about me.
I do feel it. I do believe it. But it was, I didn't, I just wanted to get you out here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I didn't want to hide you behind the curtain any longer.
The intro is tough. It's a long behind the curtain moment. When we have guests, it's like, let's just say that they're here so they can feel comfortable talking. Because in person, everyone's kind of giggling and chilling. But over the Zoom, it's like,
Eek.
Can I talk?
Ooh. Well, folks, we are both here and both allowed to talk. And we're checking in. It's the big check-in. You hear these every Mondays if you're a patron of the Man Dog Pod. And quite honestly, it's the best part. You get to know these two lovely souls, Danny and Ranny.
Danny and Ranny, the two lovely souls, what everyone calls us.
Yeah, how you been? I'm going to say it for you. You've been good. You were at the beach this week.
I went to the beach this week. I have, again, we have a forthcoming episode that we recorded probably about 3 weeks ago now with John Gabris' podcast, where we talk about summer, and it really put the energy in me that at least once a week,
woo, woo, flair in the house.
At least once a week, I'm trying to, if I see like a 4-hour window in my day, I'm trying to make it a beach window so that
I love it.
I can always, at the bare minimum on a week, have done one thing that I really enjoyed.
Right. And I love this idea. And I think the easiest way to go is if you can go first thing in the morning before you do anything else. But I was trying to get on my productivity train of like have all my meetings early in the morning or whatever sort of little task I need to get done. Finish it by 9 or 10 or whatever so that you can like get to the rest of your day. But now I want to hit the morning beach.
Well,
so I'm like, well, can I push these meetings later? Can I do it later?
I don't think there's anything wrong if you've done your stuff with heading to the beach around 11 or noon.
Of course, of course. That's not, yeah, right.
But you think that's less likely for you?
I just, if I don't get out there before 2 or 2, then I'm not going to come back before traffic.
Yeah.
So there's the dreaded, like, how late can you stay? Because if you live on the east side like us, it's a guaranteed, you know, hour and a half back if you wait till traffic.
Right.
So I'm like, if the earlier I can go, if honestly, if I could go out there early and head home by 1 every day, I'd feel like the prince.
That's good. The prince.
Yeah. What time did you go the other day?
I got on the road about 10:30. So
that's pretty good.
Got a little breakfast. The Oaks is back open for us LA people. So I got the Oaks breakfast burrito for the first time in a year.
Oh my God, was it as good as ever? This is a famously good local
burrito. It's quietly one of the best burritos in town, I would say, because
very quiet.
They do the egg over medium in the burrito, so it's a little runny in there instead of a scramble. And they've got little chives in there, which really give it just a little something.
And good bacon, good crispy
and
bacon.
And of course,
chunks.
The bacon is good crispy
of
and chunky.
Of course. Now, is the tortilla green from what I remember?
Yeah, so that is a new thing. Okay, because I was surprised it was green, but I guess you're saying that that's not news.
That's what I remember, but it's not overpowering. It's not like it's like a veggie tortilla. No. Even like it seems like it's good. Just a food coloring green tortilla, not a spinach tortilla or something.
You don't feel like you're suffering because you got a healthy thing there.
That's right. It's delicious. Well, I'm happy for you. That sounds really beautiful.
I'm happy for me, too. I'm told, which it doesn't matter for you and I because we don't do this anymore, but I'm told the fries, they have added fries to the menu and they're A1. They're very good.
Really? Well, I'm off fries. Too bad. Famously swore them off.
Too bad. Same.
But good for everybody who still does those.
Congrats to all you fry heads out there. It's not for us.
Not for me. I did have some only 1 hour ago at brunch. I had fries at brunch. Yes, a brunch fry. It was a brunch that started a little late, so it was pretty close to a lunch. Mm.
It's lunch.
It was lunch. So I had a burger and fries. I'll tell you what, I had the burger. This was interesting. The first time I had seen this done, I did not think I was going to like it. Ended up kind of liking it. It was a cheddar cheese burger, and it was just like regular shredded cheddar cheese on top, uh-huh. but not melted. It was like just sort of placed atop the patty. And I was like, well, why is it cold? But it wasn't cold. It was just sort of room temp. And it did sort of come together. It didn't melt. But anyway, I'm still thinking about it. It was pretty good.
Interesting. So it stuck with you.
Yes. Stuck to my ribs. I don't know. I got it. And I was like, God, this looks bad. Because it just looks unfinished almost. But it was pretty delicious.
Okay.
So I'm happy.
Okay.
I'm checking in and I'm feeling good. It's a nice Saturday here for us currently. You're probably hearing this on Monday or later. Uh-huh. And we hope you had a good weekend. Are you gearing up for a good weekend here, Dan?
I'm gearing up for hopefully a restful weekend. Busy week, including that beach mm-hmm. trip. So I am now in the zone of like this. I was saying off mic, but that this is like my one full day off. Tomorrow we've got some stuff, and Monday through Friday also there's some stuff. So Saturday is really my only day off. So I'm looking to watch that Brooklyn Nets game.
Nice.
And just kind of veg out for a little bit.
This is a fun series because we're seeing Giannis kind of get a little bit rocked, right? It's the Bucks versus the Nets,
yeah,
is that right?
Yeah. I didn't watch game three where Milwaukee won, but go ahead.
Right. I just saw one game where he missed like 6 3-pointers and kept shooting them like until he made one. Yeah. And it was exciting that he did make one, but it's like, this is not what you're good at. Like you doing this is playing into exactly what they want. They took your best player and put him in his worst area,
right?
You know, and then he also, throwback to Karl Malone, got two like I don't know what you call it, even like time penalties for shooting free throws. You only get 10 seconds, and he like did it twice where he just didn't get to shoot the free throw because he took too long, because he was like, it was in his head that he's like, I'm a bad shooter, I have to do this perfect and do my routine, and you know.
Well, yeah, I wonder who, because they all work with coaches who like try different strategies when they're doing poorly, which I think is all, it looks like it makes it worse. What do I know? But it looks like everyone who has a thing that they're doing is so in their head to do the thing right, like you're saying, that it's like, how could waiting 10 seconds make you better at shooting the free throw? Like, I get that the idea is don't rush, but it seems nutty to me. But yeah, I saw that they were putting a thing on the Jumbotron in Brooklyn, a 10-second clock, so the whole crowd was counting down, and the NBA told them you're not allowed to do that, so they had to stop.
Oh, weird.
I know.
Well, the crowd should still chant anyway, even if they don't, if the Nets don't put it up.
Yeah, I think hopefully hopefully they've been taught now, so they can just do it.
They used to do that with the old mailman. He'd step up to the line, and we go, 1, 2, 3, and it was really cool because everybody wanted him to fucking fail.
Yeah, still do.
Everybody, right. Well, it's just like, hey, all you have to do is shoot the shot before we get to 10, and we're counting in ones, so it should be really achievable for you. If you hear 8, it's time to raise that wrist up.
We're actually helping you. The upsetting thing would be if the whole crowd could figure out how to count, but just a little off tempo, so it really fucks with your brain. Like, it doesn't get you into rhythm. Yeah.
Right. I always thought about that, like, when I was a kid, I was always focusing on, like, whatever we were doing, and then one other little thing. So I'd be, like, watching the basketball game, and then also, like, what's the best way to make a miss a free throw or whatever? Like, it's fun to see all especially in college, like, the different strategies they try.
Yeah.
When my sister played at UC Davis, and they used to have this thing where everybody would hold up one big dot. Like, it was huge, like this big, but all of the dots moving around in like incongruous whatever actually did start to look like weird and trippy. And it was like, oh, that's pretty smart.
That's smart. Yeah, there was
one thing to focus on that's a moving target.
I feel like Oregon or something, maybe, or UCLA a few years ago started doing this thing where they hold up two red curtains like on the basically like in their sight line. And they're opening the curtains to reveal something funny, like somebody will be wearing like a gorilla suit or dancing weird with their shirt off or whatever. And that made me laugh a lot. That's like a lot of work goes into that.
That's good. I mean, and for those people who have to be at every single game but never get to play, you got to have fun with it.
Gotta.
You gotta, you know, a funky band.
Uh-huh.
You know, the band is usually funky. A little bit funny. Not just a good band, but a little bit left to center, those guys.
Yeah, the band's having a nice time. I remember we used to go to, like, the University of Arizona, like, the Midnight Madness. Did they have that everywhere? Mm-hmm. Where before the season starts, they throw, like, a big kind of celebratory. It's almost like a pep rally, but it's at midnight right. in the stadium for all the, like, students and kids and in town and whoever. And the band kind of is like the stars of the show other than the team, and they're being so wacky.
Right. Right. They just love the opportunity, I'm sure.
Yeah. They're all
they all
know that they want to be funny, which is nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is nice. It's nice.
But yeah, otherwise this week is now where are our fiduciaries at? That's the big question, because this week for me is for the first time I am trying to put my money somewhere that is not the Postmates bank account. So
you need someone who has a fiduciary responsibility to you, or you want to have a fiduciary responsibility to someone else? Well, yeah,
if
someone wants a
fiduciary, if you want me to fiduci you, I will.
Right?
No, I need somebody, somebody who financially can help me, but, you know, fiduciaries.
Sure.
My friend Evan helped me with all this recently, but explained to me. All that shit, 401ks, mutual funds. I'm in the weeds here. You know, I'm a regular Gordon Gekko. I'm a
right.
Jordan Belfort. Like I'm it. A Gordon. I'm a Jordan. Yeah, I mean,
I'm a Gordon Gekko from Geico.
I'm the Gekko. Yes. I'm trying to save myself.
Seems like you know what you're doing. You're very excited. That's right.
Oh yeah.
Where do you think you want to throw some of this money?
I don't know. Right now, it's just for the first time in my sad little life. No, my first time in my normal life. I'm literally just going through spending and budgeting and like where my money goes. That's what I'm doing first. And just being like, where on earth is this crap?
Right.
And having my big googly eyes pop out when I see what's happening.
It's crazy,
going.
Right? It's like truly crazy to be like, wow, I really spent like over $1,000 on this one thing last month.
I am offended by myself, to be honest.
Right. Well, and you're kind of also like, I didn't know I had that much money.
Yeah. Well, you know what I didn't know is because I was spending it before I could see it.
Right.
And I have a savings account, but it just sits there and eventually money gets pulled out of there especially this past year where there weren't many jobs. So I'm just trying to, for the first time in my life, like research the stuff that most adults have. And like even 401k is like most people with an office job, you just get put into one, you know, your money just starts going to that. And we never have had that opportunity. Right. They don't do it at a restaurant when you're working not full time.
Right. When you get used to your habits and patterns of what you think you're capable of, and then your capabilities change, but like, do those self-imposed limits change or whatever? You know, like, just because I'm making more money doesn't mean I should order that much more Postmates.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, I should be like, okay, I have a little bit more money. Now I can like make a choice with what I want to do rather than always feel like I'm catching up.
Right.
You know, like start to invest in yourself a little bit or whatever. It's a tricky thing to do, though, to really slow down and be like, so I'm spending this money on my future self, I guess, by putting it in this account. It feels like, well, I don't feel good about this.
No.
I just took some of my money and gave it away to later me.
To later me, who, by the way, based on the way I'm living now, later me's not going to be around.
Same guy.
And same guy. No.
Same guy and short-lived. Yeah.
But yeah, you know, it is hard to be like, it's to be like, am I going to take, quote unquote, take the risk that in 40 years I'll be needing money? Which, of course, you should in some sort of way.
You might even just need some in 6 months.
Yeah.
You know?
So.
Yeah. Did you ever like, do you have like a frame of reference for any of that kind of stuff? Like your family never talked about it or anything like that?
No, we did not really have those. Planning, prep, whatever. I don't think if I remember correctly, because my dad was basically born and raised into the Great Depression, so he didn't really trust like mutual funds, stock market stuff, like even long term non-risk.
And he always ran like cash stuff. Businesses, right?
Yeah.
So he probably just had cash on hand, and
essentially that is true. Yeah, so it was like you know, if he invested, it would have been in land, I guess. If and when.
Real estate.
But yeah.
Could be interesting.
Could be an interesting place to put some dough. But it's mostly just this feeling of like, I am really trying, as we've talked about, in every element of my life to make it all like I am creating the path I'm walking. I'm not just getting pushed in whatever direction. It's That's like right. with my financial path, I want to be like, this is what it looks like. Not just like, if someone hires me in 6 months, I'll have more money, which is obviously true, but.
That's a huge step. Yeah. Though. That's a huge thing to like write your own life a little bit rather than be like an inactive participant.
Yeah. It's the same as the beach thing. It's just like, yeah, no one's going to give me permission to go to the beach when I feel like I need to. So I just need to put that in there.
And was this like a therapy thing for you? It definitely was for me, like that type of thing of like writing your own future.
Right.
That specifically, like being the author of your life is something that we've talked about.
Yeah. I haven't talked about it in therapy in a while, but I'm sure it was. It bled into my mindset, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But this just kind of, you know how you like do something for the first time or once, and then all of a sudden you feel what it feels like, and you're like, oh, I can keep doing this. Mm-hmm. And in different ways, and this feels good, and it feels right. It kind of feels like that, where it's like I started doing it, and it was like, oh, huh. Mm-hmm. This is actually how I want to live all the time, with everything.
I almost don't remember what it's like to not want to do this.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, when you didn't know it was available to you, of course you didn't know what you didn't know or whatever.
Yeah.
But now that it is, you're like, huh, seems kind of silly now that I know to not.
Yeah. Like when we would,
I feel like that's so many things.
When we would take trips, it would always be because somebody asked us to perform in their festival, or we like picked a festival we wanted to do. We would almost never be like, here is a nice, fun thing for us to do.
Yep.
It would always have to be under the guise of it's been brought up by somebody else as an option. Mm-hmm. And so
like, somebody else pulled me there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Right. And they were always amazing and fun, but it's just I want those to be my choice. And like of my creation more often than they are of my like passive existence.
Right. Well, good for you. That sounds fucking awesome. Sounds very
cool. Do you feel like you're in that zone?
Trying to be. Yeah, definitely trying to be. Trying to be less reactive and more proactive, I guess, is like the simple way that I think of it. You know, rather than be like, what am I allowed? More like, what do I want to try to create?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because you can really kind of like put your mind to anything and like walk towards it, you know?
Yeah. I've been talking to some people about that Bo Burnham special because he feels like a good example of that. Of like a lot of creatives, myself included, sometimes can be kind of like subconsciously jealous of him because he does so much and is very successful with it at like a young age. And it's like, yeah, no, he decided to make that special. Like, yeah, Netflix paid him a ton of money, but he had to sit down and do it all. And every single thing he's done has been like mindful creativity.
Right.
That no one has asked him to do.
And even if someone asks you to do something, even if you like got a job that someone feels like you didn't deserve or something, you still had to like go do all the work of the job.
Right.
You know, like, it's all achievable or achievement stuff that, yeah, someone should be proud of him specifically since he's who we're talking about. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. What do you feel like? Do you have a thing for your next? Do you have a creative project itching because of that kind of thing? Has it inspired you to do something on your own like that?
No. I mean, this stuff we've been talking about, some stuff with Big Grande, you know, that is interesting to me. Even just like we're doing a Big Grande show on Wednesday in front of an audience for the first time day after California opens up all of its businesses. And I felt like that is kind of that type of thing where it's like, I know that I want to perform in front of people. I could wait till someone asked me, or we could start a show right now, find a location and just do it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, otherwise it's right there. Creatively, it hasn't popped up as much as it is in my more like quote unquote like businessy errandy parts of my life that I've really left untended to. I feel like I'm kind of like pruning that garden right now.
Right. Just how do you want to live your day-to-day existence kind of.
Yeah.
I love that. It's going to bring a lot of positive stuff to you, I'm sure.
Thank you. I'm vibing on it.
Because you end up like doing the things you want to do and then you like chop out the shit you don't want to do, which is like both are so good for you.
Mm-hmm.
usually I don't do the stuff I do want to do because I don't even like think what do I want to do. And then I find myself doing all the shit that's like, fuck, why do I feel so busy and not that happy about it?
Yeah.
Oh, because this is stuff that like I'm allowed to do.
Yeah.
But I don't really want to do, you know? And it's like, I could cut that shit out.
Yeah.
If I can, if I'm lucky enough to.
All the stuff that is I'm doing because I have a free schedule that I know needs to be filled and I'm saying yes to it.
Mm-hmm. Sure, I'll do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, it's very different right. than stuff that I have a free schedule and I'm like, well, I'll fill it with this, this, and this that I like to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Even it feels good to like put yourself out there, like the reverse of just accepting what comes along and being like, cool, people want to hang out with me. Like it's nice to be the person who asks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like wear the other shoe. Maybe you're the person that asks all the time and you need to stop asking for a couple weeks.
Right.
You know, it just feels good to like to feel that other texture or whatever.
Yeah, that's you know? A good point. Like find the other parts of your own self that because of this was a terrible year, but an opportunity to like break the patterns of whatever that is in relationships or life like that, where it's like,
yes.
Yeah, what do I?
Whatever grooves have been worn all went away.
Yeah.
Like the water washed over everything and it's new groove city.
Right.
Now, you know?
So yeah, I'm, I guess, still looking forward to this year, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too. I mean, are you kidding me? It's like renewed life.
Yeah.
Like we were like, I don't know, 4 years at home. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, I don't even remember that kind of
mm-hmm.
like so quickly.
Yeah. I was talking to our friend Justin about it because he was like, it's been feeling very weird. And to me, I feel like how I've felt is I need like 3 months because he was like talking about how it's this weird feeling of, there's almost a feeling like the past year never happened. Like,
uh-huh.
And definitely that's probably what, like, politically and, you know, capitalistically, what is ideal is like, yeah, let's all start spending right. money again and participate in the world. Right. But it can be like a little bit of an emotionally jarring thing. But for mm-hmm. me, I need like 3 months of like, yeah, the last year didn't happen. And I'm sure I'll process it later. But right now, I need like a few months of like,
right.
Here is everything I was dreaming about for a whole year that I'm now
right.
able to do. So I want to do it.
But I think it's important to do that stuff how you're doing it of like, what do I want
yeah.
to do rather than like, what can I just go back to?
Right.
Like, I don't want to just go back to that same shit and be like, thank God it never happened. Everything is what it was. I want to go to like what I wish it was before it went away.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, man, now that I have sort of a second crack at like going back out into life, just being a little more purposeful about it.
Yes.
It feels so good.
100%.
Feels really nice. It feels so nice to like, this is just a personal thing. Like I spend a lot of time talking to acquaintances and feeling like I want to get out of this conversation, but I know this person. I need to give them some time. And it's like, I don't always have to do that. You know what I mean? Like, just because we both walked into this hallway, now I have to be 15 minutes late somewhere. What was I doing? Why was I doing that to my, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and again, it's not that the other person was bad. It was like my sort of codependent, sure, I'm available for whatever,
right.
like thing. And it's like, man, I just don't want to waste my time, especially if in my head I'm already going like, I don't really need to have this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely don't want to waste the time then. I don't even want to waste the time with some people that I like do want to see, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. I'm enjoying time to myself these days, I guess.
Yeah.
And not like, not just feeling like socializing with any old person. It's like, no, I want to choose who I want to do that with. And I want to have more time for the people that I really want to see. And because of that, a little less time for the people that I don't really want to
yeah.
see.
Well, know? I wonder, here's how I relate to that, and I wonder if it's you would give it the same diagnosis, is I like really value intimacy in relationships and conversations. And like, so if I feel like I'm like having a conversation with someone I have like a nice intimate relationship with, or it's building intimacy, I'll kind of feel like locked in and excited about that. Mm-hmm. But those acquaintance conversations very frequently are not building
right.
intimacy. Like I have a lot of relationships that have about what intimacy they're going to have, and it's never going to change. Right. And so those ones can are the ones I end up feeling like a little bit bothered by or resentful of, or like.
Mm-hmm. Well, because I don't want more intimacy. Like, I know that.
Yeah.
I know that I don't necessarily want more intimacy in this relationship.
Right.
Like you're saying. So it's like, yeah, I should follow that choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And totally sometimes in a hallway, I mean, I think I lean into it a little too much where it's like, yeah, sometimes in a hallway you can't be like, how are things? You know? Yeah. And so, or in that, you know, the teacher's lounge at UCB is a perfect example of that. It's like,
right.
You can't really like get into it, but you're in this room with people for 10 minutes and it's like, we got to fill the air.
Mm-hmm. It's also such a weird type of work where like you're not in the office 40 hours a week together. It's like we're all here at the same time, but kind of for like 10 minutes in passing. And it's like, I don't really have time in these 10 minutes. if I was here all day, I would have time. But these are like the only 10 minutes I'm here and I'm getting my stuff together.
Yeah.
Or I'm, you know, like it's difficult. I haven't been in an office setting in so long.
And
you kind of never worked in an office. Just a restaurant was your closest,
did
right?
I ever even actually work in an office? I don't think so, no.
Yeah, I think I was surprised to learn that you had never...
Yeah, not the life for me. It potentially could have been, but yeah, I just never had to, which was nice. And I was just like, it was in the service industry.
Service straight into artists.
Service to artists. And even in the service industry, I was a bit of an artist.
Oh, yeah. Well, you were a sandwich artist.
That's correct.
Sure. That's the truth. Dan was a sandwich artist. He made the longest Subway sandwiches.
Yes. That was my art. I made them long and I made them thick. So if you're ever at the Subway in Catalina Foothills in Tucson, Arizona, or the two Subways in Ocean Beach in San Diego, California... I might have made
you worked at three Subways? Four Subways.
The two in San Diego were both owned by the same guy. So he would schedule you at either of them. One was in a gas station. It was like one of those Subways, you know?
Oh, interesting.
And the other was its own like brick and mortar, like down the street from Hodad's. You know where Hodad's is?
Uh-huh, of course. The classic place. That place is on every single San Diego, any food show that like passes through San Diego.
Yeah.
They go to Hodad's and talk about their huge burger.
You gotta get a huge burger and see the license plates on the wall.
Yeah, it's one of those funky places that has like, yeah, I guess just license plates. There's an old truck in there. It's like, it's not memorabilia, but it's like kitsch
right.
all over the wall, sort of.
Yeah.
It's a good place, though.
It is. Because I did at the beach have a hot dog and fries, beach fries, which are... Mm. Now
I'm off them, but they sound delicious.
I'm off fries, but yeah, if I ever come back, I'll have a beach fry. But where in the ranking of style of burger would you put a beach burger and fry? You know, there's like restaurant burger. There's
and what kind of beach? Are we talking thin or are we talking like poorly made, thick, but it's good because you're at the beach anyway?
I would say thin is what I associate thin. With them. Yeah, like those Shack griddle. There's just a flavor to those. I don't know what it is.
Not like a sit down, but more of like a grab and go.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. I place it pretty high.
Same.
It's one of my favorite ways to eat.
I agree. There's something about that, whatever they're doing with that grease there or the sea air, or I don't know what's happening.
Right.
But like a beach style burger. I mean, I don't even know what my list is. Like a restaurant burger that's a little thicker, a fast food burger. A backyard barbecue burger, you know.
Well, I'm already at the beach, so as long as it's not like soggy or old bun, I'm probably pretty happy.
Yeah.
You know, and you know they're like, it's just like a guy on the back on a hot grill,
yeah.
Which I think is a great way to do it.
And I think that, I don't know if it's a stated goal, but there's some sort of vibe with the beach burger that it's like, it can't make you feel like you don't want to be outside anymore. It can't be
That's
so
right.
heavy and thick that you're done with having your shirt off ever again.
That's
so there's
right.
something about a beach burger that is kind of, it doesn't weigh you down as much, which I like.
Yes, absolutely. Sorry, one sec. Yeah, I like that too, that it's just sort of, you're not here to pig out. You just need something to keep you going.
Yeah.
I like I could easily eat two beach burgers every single time, but I really only need one. This is controversial, but it's something I think I believe.
All right.
This could be huge.
Get your Twitters ready, everybody.
I have to take a second. I think I could never need to eat a double burger again. A single burger, and this is wrong, is maybe enough.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It's very controversial.
I love a double burger. I love them. They're wonderful. But when I really think about it, I'm like, at the end of this, how do I want to feel? Mm-hmm. I think I really feel like I just want to have a single. Unless we're talking like sliders or something.
Sure, yeah, of course. I mean, if anyone's...
Obviously disagreement by the heavy side.
No, I'm just thinking, well, with the slider thing, I was just thinking, if anyone's trying to prove you wrong by bringing up sliders, they're being willfully ignorant. We're not talking sliders. Right. So that's right. A straw man argument. No, I think I'm with you. I think that maybe humanity has never needed a double burger because a burger's already kind of crazy.
Yeah, the burger,
but here
the cheese,
is what I'll,
the bun, they're loaded.
What I'll say about the double burger is I don't need a double burger, but the only reason I don't is so that I can eat a burger again later.
100%, I'm eating two burgers. Yeah. 100%.
Because
yeah, absolutely.
A burger, a lot of the time, once you've picked it up, you got to finish it. You can't set it down, and so you eat it so fast, and then you go, I wish I had more burgers sometime. You can't do two double burgers in a row, but I could do a single and be like, I ate that pretty fast. I'll probably do a single.
You know what this
later.
Double burger needs is a little bit of space and an extra bun. That's what it really needs. By the way, I think maybe we talked about this on the pod, but I don't know if I gave you your roses enough about those smash burgers that
you
made at your house. Dan made some smash burgers on the flat top outside the, what's it called?
Blackstone?
Blackstone. Oh, they're delicious. Smashed them up, put them on these Hawaiian buns.
Oh,
God, they were
Hawaiian
good.
Are great.
But and that was what I was thinking of with the double burger because I had a single originally and it was delicious. Yes. And then I had a double second because I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'll do it. I'm fucking tough. And then I was like, didn't need it. Could have just had the single.
I fully understand that. I think I'm basically agreeing with you, but I will say as far as just the statistics, if we're being scientific, your second round of burgers were made by John. So it's hard to say, you know,
if
those doubles the second time around have been made by me, are you also still going to be a huge fan? Different chef.
I mean, it wasn't even to speak to the quality. It was more just my eyes were bigger than my stomach. Do you know what I mean? Where it's like, of course I always want the double, but then afterwards I was like, but I already had the single. And when do I, it was just kind of eye opening, you know?
It's very eye opening. And you never need the double burger second.
Right.
That's
well, I think, and this is not, you know, smart, but for a lot of my life, I've been growing.
Uh-huh.
So I've been always eating more food because it's adding to the pile of my growing body. Safe to say, I'm as tall as I'm going to get. I'm hopefully as wide as I'm going to get. So I just don't need to keep feeding myself for growth.
Yeah.
If anything, I need to feed myself for stability. And at this point, just a little slim down so that I felt more comfortable. Mm-hmm. I don't like feeling stuffed all the time. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to try to do that. Like, even if I don't eat way better food, I'm just going to try to eat the correct amount more often.
Well, yeah, portion control probably changes everything. At least. Mm-hmm.
But I don't even like the term portion control. Because anytime somebody says control to me, the hairs on my neck stand up and I say, fuck you.
Yeah.
But then I do that to myself.
Right.
Hey, have a little self-control. And I go, fuck you. I'm eating double. And it's like, you did that to you.
Yeah. What's a better way to say it? Portion. No, we don't even like. There's just something about you are denying yourself if you say it that way, right?
Exactly. And that's what I don't want to do. I want to try to eat the amount of food that feels good.
Yeah.
You know? So that I'm like putting in a proactive. What is my goal today? To eat the amount of food that makes me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Not like I always eat too much food and I'm dumb, so I have to stop that. Mm-hmm. Like that has been my attitude and it does not work. because then you go like, fuck it. This is what you deserve. Just eat the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know you're like this.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, whatever.
That is
not so punitive.
To circle back a little bit to that idea of like the mindfulness, the way I'm trying to be with like how I treat my money and stuff is looking at the reality in the past and not letting that be the reality. Like, that's one of the reasons I'm not great at budgeting is because I look at it and I go, oh, I'm this type of person. I spent in irrational places and, you know, that I'm going to be that forever. Like this time around, I looked at it and tried to do it with just an eye of like, that's what I did in June or that's what I did in May. doesn't have to be July. And like, I think that's the same with the food thing. Like, yes, I have eaten huge amounts and felt like shit. I am not someone who eats huge amounts and feels like shit.
Yes. But I just don't like doing that. So I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah.
Or not even anymore. Just like
right now.
Forget the past almost. Yeah. It's like, it isn't here. It's gone. But you did also get the lesson from it. So you're just like, yeah, I don't want to do
that. Yeah, right now I don't want to feel that way. So, and then try to like,
I don't know if this is the same token, but I feel like in general, I can be very like reactionary, both in relationships and to myself. So I feel like I'm always like reacting to that past self or what, and then it's like a bunch of like overcorrections because you're always like judging and reacting rather than just like living it the first time.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, like, well, fine. Next month, I'm not spending any money and I'm only eating salads and I'm working out every day. And it's like,
what do you think is going to happen after that? What, like, what do you think happens on the other side of that 1 month? Do you think that just stays? No, you're going to react to that again. You know, like,
so what is the opposite of reactionary, I guess?
Just being mindful. Like not, again, like just, it's exactly what you were saying. Yeah. I think just putting it in different words of like, rather than looking at the past, thinking you are that thing and trying to change yourself, it's like, no, there's no guarantee that I'm going to be that way again already. I just have to choose the thing I want. You know, I don't have to discipline myself for the choices I've made in the past as much. I just have to not make those choices as much. You know what I mean?
Yeah, discipline's a good word. Like, that's kind of the way most cultures, but our culture feels that way, right? It's like, you did something wrong. It's time to punish you. Even, like, religiously, right? It's like, you did something wrong. Go confess. Get your punishment, whatever. It's not, like, self-examined or integrating those virgin sides of yourself or being aware of them. It's punishment, discipline.
Yes. And I think I've said this before, but one of the big shifts is like shifting from judgment to curiosity of being like, instead of judging yourself for the thing you did, just seeing that thing and being curious, like, why did I do that? Huh. Okay. Now I learned something about myself, but I'm not like punishing anybody. I like learned something without having to discipline myself.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I let the disciplining of myself get in the way of actually learning. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Like, what was driving that decision that I didn't like, rather than like, don't feel like that? It's like, well, how did you feel?
Yeah.
Don't feel like what? You haven't even narrowed down what made you do the thing yet.
Right.
You know, like, the judgment keeps you from learning because you're truly not curious about what happened.
Yeah.
You know? So it's been a big shift for me of like, in general, trying to drop that judgmental attitude of like, what's good and what's bad, and more curious about like, how does this work?
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. It's a great way to word it, too. And it's much more helpful because it takes you out of the cause and effect, like action reaction. You did this, so you deserve this. Like,
Right. I think curiosity is like the opposite of judgment.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I don't have to nail down an opinion.
And then
I don't have to nail down how this is. I can just wonder or observe or.
And ideally, it starts to become part of the DNA of how you see other people's actions too.
Exactly.
Curiosity instead of judgment.
Exactly.
And then it makes it a little easier to move through the world.
Well, if you're only judgmental, every time that someone does something different than you.
Yeah.
You judge them for
it.
But it's like, of course it was different from you. You're just one person. Your way is not the way. It's the way you do it. And like, yeah, why do other people do things differently? Why do I do things the way I do? Like, that curiosity is so helpful.
Yeah, I feel you. I agree.
Well, I think that was the big lesson of the day, folks.
It's a great lesson.
You know?
Now here's
just...
Here's the question. Yeah. That I'm dealing with right now. Our therapist has, for all intents and purposes, moved away. She's in New Orleans. I was happy to do whatever we do over video chat, whatever it's called, Zoom for a while. But now things are opening up. We've got
we've got
connection issues, which creates connection issues. I do therapy in my car because it's like the space where it feels like private. I don't know what to do here if she doesn't come back because I like her.
But I'm sure you'll like your next therapist too.
Yeah, it's just a lot of work. It's a lot of work to find what. Like I feel very lucky that I liked the first person I started seeing.
Totally, I think we lucked out with a really smart, compassionate, good therapist. That's how I feel. Yeah. I definitely cherish it, but also I'm like, huh, how long am I going to just talk to somebody from New Orleans?
Yeah.
It does feel kind of weird. I don't know.
Yeah, are you fine doing it over? Do you prefer in person?
Well, we went from every week to every other week.
Yeah.
And so I'm already sort of like scaling back a little bit. And so I guess I'm not dying for the like weekly check-in as much. Yeah. And so I'm kind of okay with it. But last week I was a little bit late and we had connection issues. And I was like, that was like 25 minutes of me being able to do anything. And it was like, oh, it's okay. 2 weeks. No, okay. I didn't get to talk about everything. Yeah, yeah, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. I would be curious about also just like, it's been a long time, mm-hmm. you know, and just getting another perspective and maybe being like, cool, I really worked on a lot of stuff there. But I also feel like it's been long enough where I'm sort of a different person than when I came in.
Yeah.
So I would be curious to like start over with a new person where I'm at now, rather than like we were talking about, like she knows so much of the story and everything that maybe I'm in a rut there or like in a groove, not a rut, but what I mean? Like it would be curious to have to re-explain everything to a new person and see what we found.
Right.
Rather than like, I don't really have to do that with her. She knows, we know, we're updated.
Yeah.
Kind of feels like, okay, helpful, but not as transformative as it did in the beginning, right. You know, which probably you don't hopefully want forever, but I don't know. I'm curious. We'll see. Do you want her to move back? Do you miss her?
I want her to move back. I mean, I do miss her, actually.
I do. I would love to sit in a room with her. It would be fantastic. It would be really, really great.
I find it like that is one of the many things that because I feel that I'm pretty good at compartmentalizing and just moving forward, that I was able to tell myself like, oh, you know what? This is pretty much the same. It's pretty much the same as it was in person.
Yeah.
But I found like, you know, with little things like podcasting, it's like I figured out how to do a pretty great job over Zoom. But the couple I've done in person are like, nope, this is better. This feels really good. And the other ones feel good, but this feels really good. And I think it's the same with that, where it's like, it's good. But I think if I got in a room with her or somebody, I would immediately feel a little more connected, a little more in touch, a little more like at ease, a little more. Mm-hmm. There's just a lot of like.
Doing it in your car is hard. That's not the most comfortable. No.
And then it brings up all the other stuff of like, why don't I fucking live in a space that has a room that I can do therapy in and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right. I don't know. I hope she moves back.
Me too.
I think she likes it
better. Yeah, she just took in a new cat, so I don't know.
Took in. Interesting. All right, I'm finding someone new. My therapist is taking in all these random cats. I gotta get the hell out of here. I'm helping her.
Yeah. But yeah, that's what else? I'm looking forward to. Can we get some freaking movies in theaters already?
Come on.
Where were all the good movies that didn't get put out last year?
I think a couple of the big ones were like HBO Max. Right. And so we like missed that they would have been event movies, you know? But also, there's got to be a stockpile somewhere.
Let's open up the stockpile. I'm ready. I'm ready for Fast 9.
Oh, yes. Can you believe it? I saw that first movie when I was like 12 or 13 on a trip to Southern California when I lived in Northern California. And I've seen everyone so many times. It's like the series of my lifetime in a sad way. It's like it really hits with like when I was started being obsessed with movies as like a dorky kid who wanted to just see cars and shit.
Right.
All the way up to now where I'm like, I still like this.
Yeah. It's just
kid brain loves
the theater experience. It is like I like going to all movies and theaters, but it has become like the point of the theater experience. It's like loud. Right. It's flashy. You go with friends. You like have a blast. And
well, and they're heightening off the last one. They're like, remember the first eight?
Right.
Well, here's nine. Like, it's good heightening. They're all a little bit more crazy, and they're, like, going to space and shit. It's like, yeah, great. Keep going up the ladder.
I think we got to send them in, like, back to the 50s or something like that. Like we have to see their families and stuff and go really small in like old timey cars. Of
right.
Just every member of their family is played by them still, but just with different hair.
Right. That'd be really fun. Well, Dan, I love you, my man, and I feel pretty checked in. It's always so great to chat with you. I'm glad we get to do it in real life, but I also love that we have this carved out for ourselves.
Yeah, this is nice. This is always a nice.
Folks at home, carve out some time with your friends.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Make it, put it on the calendar. Make it special. Have a Sunday family dinner. I don't know, whatever it is.
That's what I think that is next on the docket for you and me and some of our friends. Is if it, like I was thinking about that. Again, being mindful about it, like if there's people I really want to see and have like an intimate conversation with, I can make that happen. I can have that, make that dinner, invite everyone over, set that up. So I'm excited to do that. But everybody do that with somebody important to you.
Break bread, shake hands. You can do it.
Break hands, shake bread.
Anything else, Donnie?
No, that's that. I loved the episode with Zach Oyama and Jen D'Angelo that we released last Friday. I think people should listen to that if they haven't already. It was really fun. A lot of good conversation laughs and scene laughs.
Two lovely, hilarious people.
Yeah. And,
which is what I said about you, too.
Yeah, I guess you surround yourself with lovely, hilarious people, and I feel the same about you. And if you are in Los Angeles and you're listening to this, go to the Big Grande Twitter and get yourself reservations to see us live for free at the Yard Theater this Wednesday, the 16th. That'll be a blast.
And bring a couple of dollars for maybe a beer or something.
Oh, you think so?
I don't know. Might as well bring a cooler, right?
Yeah, sure. I didn't think about that. That's a good idea.
Or some water or soda.
No, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
All right. You heard it here first.
We'll pay our doorman.
Come say hi to Rob.
All right, well, Man Dog patrons, friends, thank you so much. We love you, and we'll see you later this week.
Love you. Bye.
Peace.
Oh, yeah, rock and roll.